that you've got our backs and that you are with us and you will never leave us. Lord, we truly do. We come running to your arms this morning. Thank you for your embrace. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
It's good worship. Enjoyed that. Thank you, you guys. Question for you as we're clearing the stage. What's faith? Don't quote the Bible. Just give me, like, what does it really mean? What's faith? What is faith really? Huh?
Unmovable trust.
Believing that the hero is going to come through despite all odds, no matter what it is. Wow, say that again. Believing that
the hero will come through no matter what the odds and no matter what circumstances.
Wow.
Courage in the face of fear.
Courage in the face of fear. Heartfelt belief in what we can't see with our eyes. Good. Well done. All right. Well, I think we can dismiss. We're in Hebrews, and today we begin Hebrews chapter 11, perhaps the coolest chapter in the Bible. It's all about what?
Faith.
One of the most active men I have ever known, leader in downhill racing with mountain bikes, sponsored by O'Neill Gear, cover of bicycle magazines and crazy wild, then turned to motorcycles. Many of you know Mark Bender. But probably the most distinctive thing about Mark is he loves Jesus Christ. And as you also, many of you know, a little over a year ago was in a swimming accident and severed his spine. And I don't think that there's another person that I can think of who's more qualified to speak about faith than Mark Bender. And so let's welcome him up as he... heads up here to share. While he's coming up, we're going to show just a short video of his story. Let's roll that. Just a second. Click that
forward. Hello, hi everyone. I told Sarah I wanted to leave a message for everybody. No, this isn't probably the ideal situation to be in Hawaii, but this is where I'm at, and things are good, you know. Definitely did not foresee this coming or what have you. I was just catching that one last wave, and obviously do not come to me for wave surfing advice. It's been a pretty surreal experience. You know, a couple days ago, I definitely had the question of the why me, the what ifs, what if we did this, I should have got the tattoo, why didn't I get the tattoo, tattoo would be way cooler than a neck brace, but now I'm here, and I know this is where I'm supposed to be. Which...
All right, that's enough of that guy. So, faith is what we're going to talk about today. And, yeah, that was me a while ago. Seems like a long time ago, but really wasn't. I guess, you know, I just want to... You know, it's interesting watching that video and then being up here, and I feel like one thing that I could probably never say enough to the body of Christ, and really, I mean, when I say that, I mean, the body of Christ is, thank you. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for all your prayers. You know, sometimes we feel like we're probably in this battle alone, and we question the church and, you know, support this and that, but I'll tell you what, through this journey in my life, the way the body has reached out to me, from Oahu to Colorado to here to what you guys did. I mean, you sent me cards, and we had it was called our wall of faith or encouragement. And every morning I'd look at these things that this church wrote me, and it was just so good. So I just wanted to say thank you. So, who's Mark? That's me on the left. It's my really hot wife on the right. And I love this picture. One, we're on a journey. And I mean, you got this beautiful path. And a really good friend of ours took this picture, and we had no clue that this picture was being taken. And it's just a snapshot of life. And you're just going down life. You know, you're on this journey, this path. You're surrounded by God's beauty. And it's just a snapshot. But things can change. That's still me on the left. I'm just in a constant sitting position. You know, Randy mentioned that we were active, and you know, I did. It's funny, you know, out of all the crazy stuff I've done in my life, the way I got hurt would have never, ever have popped. I mean, I have broken arms and concussions, and it's just nuts. But, you know, March 6, 2013, it was the last day we were in Oahu, Hawaii. We were celebrating, Sarah and myself went there to celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary. And it was the last day, and we were wrapping up, and we had a late flight. And we were like, oh, what do we want to do? So we went and grabbed a breakfast at this little place, and then went and got coffee. And then I was going to get a tattoo, as you saw in the video. I was going to get a tribal band around my leg. But I don't know, for those of you who have not gotten tattoos, they're expensive. And we were like, man, we just dropping that much money. It's like crazy. So we were like, well, why don't we just go back to Waimea Bay? You know, it's just this. We went there quite a bit during the trip. And we were like, let's go to Waimea Bay. This is where we want to be. So Waimea Bay we went. And we were sitting on the beach. And the whole week, these waves were huge. I mean, they were some of the biggest waves we'd seen, and there a lot of the time we stayed away from the water, but today they weren't too big. And so Sarah went into the water, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna go into the water and hang out. So we were swimming around, and yeah, it was just a normal day. And I remember hearing the lifeguards say, you know, heads up, we got a swell coming in, blah blah blah. The waves weren't getting too big, and so Sarah was like, okay, I'm going to head on in. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to, and this is always, if you say this, just stop and be like, okay, I'm done. I was like, I'm going to catch the one more wave. It's always I'm going to do one more run on the ski lift. It's always that one more. You just got to stop sometimes, you know, just don't do the one more. And then, so she goes in, I'm like, okay, I'm going to catch one more wave. And I remember sitting in the water, and I'm like, oh, here comes a wave. And so, you know, I'm getting ready for the wave to come. It comes up and it hits me. And I, you know, start swimming diagonal like I told you're supposed to with the wave. And I'm swimming. I feel the wave grab me, and I'm riding it. And then I just remember being overcome by this wave. And I was like, this isn't good. And then I was thrown into the sand. I remember, and that's The fact that I remember all this, from what I'm told, is amazing. But I remember hitting the back of my head here. I remember feeling my legs come over my body and feeling a pop. I was like, yeah, I don't think that's good. And then I came up, and I was face down in the water. And I remember feeling my legs below me, and I couldn't move them, and I couldn't move my arms. And so I'm face down, and I was trying to move like this. And my wife was like, yeah, I saw you moving. She's like, I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't know if it was some new body surfing or what you were doing. And it's amazing how time stops in that situation. And I remember way going up, just trying to feel that. And I was like, this is not good. Like, I'm face down. And I had the conversation with God, and I was like, God, is this really it? Like, is this how Mark Bender's story ends? And the one thing that I remember was there was a surprising peace. Like, if it was, I was okay. And I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of weird. Like, you know, you think, you know, in the back of my head, I'm always like, if I fall off a building, you know, who do I have to forgive? And, you know, like, am I going to be like freaking out like as I fall? But in this situation, no, I was just like, okay, if this is it, this is it. And that's when the most amazing thing in my life ever happened. It was amazing. All I heard was no. And then literally I felt the hand of God just put his hand on my back. Like, I mean, I felt physically his hand. And then I heard, relax. And I was like, okay, relax I do. And so I relaxed. And then Sarah, as I refer to her, sometimes my Baywatch babe, was on the shore, and she was watching me, and the first wave came in. I think the second wave came in, and that's when she was like, yeah, this isn't right. So she ran in and grabbed me, and she flipped me over, and she's like, are you all right? And I literally was like, yeah, no, not all right. And she was like, okay. And I think she asked me, can you move your arms? I'm like, I can't move anything. So she pulled me up to the beach, and then I remember people running down, and she's like, go get the lifeguards. And the lifeguards came down, and then, you know, they threw me on the backboard. And then at that point, I remember I just heard, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And I was like, yeah, you're darn right. I'm not afraid. Like, you haven't given me a spirit of fear. And so I remember telling lifeguards, I'm going to walk. And I remember they were like, what? I'm like, I will walk. And they're like, okay, let's just get you up there. I'm like, no, I'm going to walk. And they're like, okay, great. Like, get it. And I just kept telling them, I'm going to walk. And the ambulance, as the guy's driving me to the ER, I'm like, I will walk again. And he's like, I don't know, man, this is pretty bad. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I will walk again. So we get to ER, and it's kind of weird to tell. This sounds wrong, but ER was kind of cool. Like, I remember getting out of the ambulance, and you, like, go in this room, and, like, I felt like TV. Like, everyone's rushing around, and you're just getting, like, poked. I'm like, wow, this is nuts. Like, you know, this is crazy. So it's still, I mean, at that point, you know, I knew I was in trouble, but I don't, you know, the level probably hadn't hit me. Second day, got surgery. And it was a complete dislocation of my C6. I have pictures. I didn't bring them. We're not going to show them. But, yeah, it just popped right out. So they popped it back in. I got plates in the front and back. And I remember day two after surgery. You know, and one question a lot of people ask me is, you know, did you yell at God? Were you angry? And I had it was a very quick conversation with God. And I remember day two, I asked why. And again, it was, why does it matter? And I was like, that's a good point. Okay. And then it was, what you do from this point on is what matters. And you have two choices. You can get angry and you can be mad. You can be frustrated and nobody will fault you for it. Or you can trust me. And I was like, all right, I like be better today. Being disgruntled my whole life just doesn't sound good. So you see up there, is seeing believing, or does believing make you see? So at that point, I couldn't see anything. Like, I didn't know. You know, it was okay. I'm gonna move. I'm gonna trust you, God. I should probably stop there. There's so much I could share, and I'll continue. So Hebrews, faith in action. I'm just going to do the first couple sections here. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancient were commanded for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Faith. So Randy asked the question, you know, well, what is faith? And as I was preparing for this message, you know, you start hearing the word faith. And I get hung up on words. It's kind of one of my little things. So, you know, I was going to throw something on Facebook and have people, what is faith to you? And it's just amazing, like, the word faith is kind of like the word Christian. Everybody's a Christian sometimes. And, you know, what is a Christian? What is faith? And so I was going to go to Webster. And I'm like, Webster's overrated. Like, what? I want to know what people think. Like, so I went to Wikipedia because that's where everyone goes now. You know, and Wikipedia is kind of cool because anybody can go in. You know, it's a collaborative. And so I read what Wikipedia said, and personally it irritated me and got me very frustrated. It says, faith is confidence or trust in a person, thing, deity, view, or in the doctrines or teachings of a religion. It can also be defined as belief that is not based on proof, as well as confidence based on some degree of warrant. The word faith is often used as a synonym for hope or belief. Like, can you get any more non-committal than that? Like, I mean, really. I was just like, wow. I mean, when I look at our culture sometimes, it's like we're so afraid to take a stand and be like, no, this is faith. Or, no, that's wrong. I can't remember. I saw a bumper sticker, and it's like, yeah, it was good. It was like something like, killing babies is wrong. It's like, okay, yeah, that's like a great way to put it. Like, yeah, or yeah, that's what, killing babies is the wrong choice. That's what it was. And it's just like, yeah, it is. Like, how do you argue with that? Like, you can't. Yeah. Based on some degree of warrant. So then I found this amazing quote by A.W. Tozer. I do not recall another period when faith was as popular as it is today. If only we believe hard enough, we'll make it somehow. So goes the popular chant. What we believe is not important. Only believe. What is overlooked in all this is that faith is good only when it engages truth. When it is made to rest upon falsehood, it can and often does lead to eternal tragedy. For it is not enough that we believe. We must believe the right thing about the right one. Two things. Mark Bender's faith in who I am and the way I'm a simple guy pretty much when it's come to faith. Like, I'm not a theologian. Like, I'm not going to sit there and make a mountain over a molehill. Sometimes a molehill just needs to be kicked over and spread the dirt and move on. And, you know, I've always had this universal truth. And you see here in Tozer, he says, faith is good only when it's engaged as truth. So what is truth? And I was talking to someone, and the universal truth is a theory that I've always used. And it's like, what's universal truth? Well, you can go anywhere, and 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care if you're in China, Japan, Germany, it's a universal truth. And then they were like, well, that's your choice to believe that. I mean, you have to obey, you know, the truth. I'm like, no, they're two separate things. And they were like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, the speed limit's 55. That's the truth. If you do 65, it is your choice not to obey the truth. So whether you're doing 65 doesn't defeat the purpose or the fact that the speed limit's still 55. The speed limit is 55. That is the truth. So what is the truth? The word of God is the infallible truth. And that's really where we got to start today is, you know, for this message, the scripture, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 is where I'm focusing. Like, that's the truth. And it's perfect. And it covers everything. So, I just really wanted to, the truth is key here. Like, we gotta know what's true. At the end of the day, what's your faith in when it comes to your situation? How? Again, what's your faith in? You know, we can go back to Wikipedia, look at it's fluffy, you know, you can believe in whatever you want, or you can look at Tozer's truth. It's got to be based in the truth. And if it's not, as he said, it's going to fall apart. Hebrews 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Going back to, is faith seen? Believing, or is believing seen? And if you think about it, we've all been there, you know, where it's like, okay, God, I'll believe if you move this cup from here to there. I mean, I've tested them, you know. I believe I'm going to walk. I'm sitting up here in a wheelchair. But I still believe. I don't know how. I don't know if it's just going to be the fact that, you know, one of these days my boys and my wife are just going to pick me up and throw me and I'm going to stumble 2 feet and that's going to be it. I don't believe that. I think, you know, whether it's through God's use of surgeons, whether it's a miraculous healing, I will walk somehow. And even with that, like, I'm not seeing that. I'm not walking right now. But then again, I am walking. Like, I am walking in ways that I've never even thought I could walk. And it goes back to that question when I got of why. And, you know, it was, you know, how you handle this. You have 4 boys. These are men of God. Like, It was a very powerful moment. So, you know, Hebrews 1:11 here saying, It's not what we see. It's that belief. God is control. God will work out my situation ultimately for my good and for the good of his kingdom. My situation ultimately for my good. I was a busy person. I did a lot of things. And I remember the first time we finally came back from Colorado, I was sitting in the living room and I was like, "Sarah, there's a hummingbird outside." She's like, "Yeah, we've had hummingbirds forever." I'm like, "We have?" And, you know, this chair has slowed Mark Bender down. No matter how much I try not to let it slow me down, it slowed me down. And I'm reflecting and seeing and growing and doing things with my boys differently. And life is different. And it's been for my good. It's good. Mark Bender is not a victim. I am not a victim. I had an accident. Yes, it's different than the many times I've broken my arm. Yeah, no one really is like, "Yeah, sign me up for the wheelchair deal." Like, yeah, but I am not a victim. And, you know, when I look at, you know, how God has moved through this in his glory, quite amazing. I mean, even that video, you know, we threw it up on YouTube, and I'm just some dude, right? The views on that video blew me away. Like, I was just like, "What?" And Facebook comments and friends, things I could have never seen, but are controlled by a choice. If I would have made the other one, God would not have gotten his glory out of that. Secondly, I can trust and follow God in everything because he has me. We sang about it this morning, running into his arms. We can trust him. He loves us, and he's a good God. You can trust him with everything. Yeah. Trust is big, though. I know. And it's a choice. And we've all, you know, we all have our own journeys. I'm walking through a journey here, but you can trust him. And the more you do, the more you'll be amazed. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that it is seen was not made out of what was visible. This kind of goes back to my Mark Bender's simple faith and truth and simple. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. No, I'm not going to argue how old the earth is. I'm not going to argue where. I'm not going there with you. Why? Because it says right here, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. That's enough. It's not, I mean, don't make it bigger than it is. And I've fallen to this. I mean, I used to love talking to Mormons and just like in a bad way, I'd try and mess with them. And because they know scripture and they get all tied up in things and it's fun. But at the end of the day, like, what's your goal? I mean, let's keep it simple, guys. Like, the universe was formed at God's command. Done. So what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We didn't see anything. He said this there. Like, pretty simple. In every circumstance in my life, God is in control. You know, laying there in that bed. You know, the why. It was very short. I wasn't angry. It was literally like, like I'm talking to you now. Like, God, why? And wherever you are, you know, it's okay to ask the why question. I think it's okay to be angry. I wasn't. The key is God's in control, you know. And what Satan intended for evil, God is turning into good. You know, there's been a lot of crazy things that have happened to all of us. Growing up, losing mom. Why? I have no clue. Best friends, husbands, wives, wheelchairs. Like, life happens. And it's our choice to trust him. And it's, you can go one way or the other way with your faith. And yeah, I know there are people in here that wrong and bad things have happened. And you're sitting there and you want to know why. I don't have answers. But you just got to know God is in control. Which then brings me to my absolute favorite verse before my injury. How to have faith in God enough to walk with him. Oops. I think we missed the slide. So I'm going to go over it. John 16. Hold on. John 16:33. This is going to be the MBV version, the Mark Bender version. For troubles will come. So we are all believers. We're Christians in here. God has not promised you, okay, you said the sinner's prayer, slap on the butt, you're good to go. Life's going to be a bowl full of cherries. Yeah, no. Trouble, he said, John 16:33, troubles are going to come. Okay. But take peace in me, for I have conquered the world. And, you know, it's been one of those scriptures that as long as, you know, everyone has that one scripture that they grab onto, and for whatever reason, that's been the scripture for me. And I've used it. It's funny, you know, my sister's little sister was 16. She got diagnosed with cancer. She called me on the phone, and I used that scripture on her, as well as the one, you know, again, this is the MBV version, you know, for does God not take care of the birds and the flowers in the field? You know, how much more does he love you? Like, okay. It's always easier to tell someone stuff sometimes until you're thrown in that situation. But when you take that peace and you're like, okay, God's in control. It's amazing, and you see things, and it's that step of, okay, seeing is not believing. We know that. I mean, the Bible shows us time and time and time again, like, he could show people stuff. He could turn, you know, send locusts and do all this stuff and then lead the people out of Israel. And then they, oh, great. Now we're at a sea and we're being chased down. Way to go. After all these crazy miracles have been performed, like, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And when you know, okay, God's in control. Says he's already conquered the world. He's created the universe. There's a shift, a dynamic shift that happens. So how do you have faith in God enough to walk with him? You got to release control, submission. It's been a tough one for me. You know, we're in Colorado. I'm a man. I was very active. We needed to find a place to live. I could do nothing. I couldn't get in the car with Sarah and the boys, look at the house. I couldn't help them move. I couldn't do anything. I had to release control. Heck, I couldn't even feed myself for a long time. Like, this is tough. Like, you got to release control and be like, okay, I can't sit up. I can't feed myself. I can't do anything. I'm like back at the infant stage, literally. I'm a 38-year-old infant. And I'm okay with that because God's in control. You know, and when you release that, it's an amazing freedom. And you can talk to people. You know, I'm thinking of right now a very real situation that just happened that recently was with Randy and, you know, Deb. And like when you're going through that and you release control and you're like, wow. You know, you can look and see the impact it had on the nurses at this hospital, and you start seeing things that you wouldn't have seen if you didn't believe. But we all like to be in control. But it's that submission. Second, time. To walk with God, it takes time. In the sense that any relationship takes time. You gotta take time. You gotta slow down. Enjoy the hummingbirds. You know, if you, it's a relationship. You want to have a good relationship with your wife, a friend, neighbor. It's time. It's just one of those things. I mean, it's pretty simple. Heart repair. You're first. So when you release control, you release control of your heart. And whatever's happened there, past, present, what you're going through. And you learn to walk with God through those. And so what is the year of first? Well, year of first is when you go through, it's, we'll call this a traumatic experience. Losing a loved one. The year of first is tough. The first year, birthdays. Thanksgiving was tough for me. It was hard. Like, I cooked the turkey. I could not lift the turkey for the life of me and throw it. I mean, and even if I tried, it would be very ugly trying to throw that thing in a boiling, thing of oil, because we deep fry our turkey. Like, bad things would happen. But you got to open your heart and acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the hurt. It's okay. But you got to take peace to him because he's already conquered it. Yeah. Heart's big. And I put up there a year. Like, it's not quick always. And you just got to continue to have that faith and say, okay, I don't see this. It's going to get better. And it does. Whoops. Discipleship. What is discipleship? It's not doing it alone. It's grabbing a brother, grabbing a sister, and saying, let's walk through this together. Let's grow. I can't do this alone. I need help. When things get tough, you have that person to open your heart to and say, hey, this is where I'm at. And you pray with them and you grow. You can read books together. And the next time that wave comes and it's going to throw you, that discipleship will help you. It gives you the strength to be like, no, I'm okay. Like, God's in control. Next. Okay. This is one of my favorite. Reaching out. Selflessness. Me, me, me. My spouse is not there for strength. It's easy to sit in your gloom, right? But when you look at Christ and when he healed somebody, whether it be with leprosy, people didn't really want to go around touching someone with leprosy or blind. The first thing he did, and when you look at it, is he reached out and touched them. It's easy for me to get focused on, or would have been, where I was at, where I am at, and be like, okay, it's all about me. But it's not. We got to continue reaching out. I mean, that's how you grow. And if you stop, you're going to get too focused on yourself and where you're at. And going back to 4, it says, go out into all the world. Reach out and make disciples. And this last point, this point here was, as I was super excited preparing for this, is like this, that one point that just kept coming up and figuring out where it went or what have you. Childlike faith. When I look at right now, it's amazing. And it's really cool because I'll have friends come up to me and they're like, my 8-year-old still prays for you every night. And I can tell you there are 3 or 4 families whose kids still pray for Mark that he will walk. And it's that childlike faith. Like, they don't. I don't know what it is with us, but we go through life and bad things happen. And we get angry and we'll sign it off. And we forget that childlike faith. But when you look at kids, my boys, Ezekiel, Jude, Titus, and Gideon, like, there's this unsurpassed strength that they know. Like, they haven't signed it off. Like, they don't it's very simple. It's this childlike faith. And I want to go to the next picture here. And I want you to focus on the kid, not the person. And I just love this picture. Just the abandonment of this young child jumping. Could be, you know, whoever. You know, obviously, you know, let's say Father God, and just jumping. And there's just this release of, I'm going to be safe. I trust you. And, you know, if you've ever done any team building events, and I've done quite a few with work, what's one of the things they do there? Grab a partner, have turn around, and they're going to catch you. Why? Because if you're going to work with somebody, you got to trust them. Some of us has forgot this abandonment of, I'm jumping. And when I'm in the air, I'm going to be free. Because I know when I land, I'm going to be caught. And it's that faith, that simple faith of, I don't need everything explained to me. I don't need to know why I'm going to be caught or how. I just know I'll be caught and everything's going to be okay. And when you look at Matthew 18:24, and I'm sorry, I'm using the message here just because I like it. For an answer, Jesus called over to a child, whom he stood in the middle of the room and said, I'm telling you once and for all that unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, like this child, will rank high in God's kingdom. Go back to square one. Yes, none of us are children anymore. Yes, bad things have happened to all of us that we don't have the answers for. Start over, like that child. Have that faith, that confidence that I can launch off this cliff and it's going to be good. And whatever's gotten you to that point, we're having faith, we're trusting, where you've lost the simplicity and elemental things, where you have to have answers for everything. Goes back to, I think it was point three, heart. You know, examine that. Look at it. Figure it out. God is good. And he's got you. And he's got the world. So, as I wrap things up here, I guess I just want to challenge you guys to jump. Stand there and know, and just to have that faith. I think that's all I got.
Well done. It's easy to listen to Mark and kind of see his situation and then dismiss the stuff we're going through. It's like, well, I'm not having to deal with a wheelchair and, you know, But God has rigged life to press this issue of what you're putting your trust in. He really has. And he'll allow the circumstances of our lives to be a great teacher for us. And I still remember, you know, 5 months ago when we got a diagnosis of angiosarcoma, and then asking the Lord, you know, just in this turmoil of what do we do and why and all those things. And dealing with all this fear, and then just hearing the Lord say, trust me. And then me being upset with that answer from God. Because then I wanted to know, well, what direction do I trust you? Do I trust you for healing? Do I trust you, you know, are we supposed to, what direction? And it was like a baby writhing, you know, when a baby's uncomfortable or whatever, and it's just, and I was internally like that, and he just said, Randy, just trust me. Not to, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything except trust me. And it was what Mark said, that he has me, he's going to work everything out for my good, he knows what he's doing, and that he's going to work it out for the good of his kingdom. You know, it's, and then something in me, like that baby writhing, just went, okay, and just relaxed in his arms. And a very similar trust journey that Mark's been experiencing. What in your life is he asking you to leap off and trust him for? Don't dismiss it. May seem like a small thing right now. May seem like a huge thing. What's he asking you to step off, jump off, and trust? Let's just take a minute and pray. Listen, you know, let's go before the Lord with that question. So Jesus, we would you reveal, what have you been raising in our lives with this issue of trusting you, this faith in what I can't see? What are you asking me to jump off that rock and just rest in you? What have you been talking to me about? Maybe you know you've been sort of that baby writhing, just not confident, not comfortable in God's care. I just want to invite you just to release whatever it is to him and trust him. Okay. I trust you that you have me. And you're going to work out everything for my good and the good of your kingdom. Just like your word says. So I release it. For some of you, it's a direction of obedience. The examples that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks throughout the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, it's example after example of obedience, where God asked somebody to do something and they obeyed him by faith. What's a direction? Is there, some of you, there's something God's asking you to obey him in. Maybe it's serving him, his kingdom. Maybe it's, could be a number of different things. Some sort of stepping out. What's he asking you to obey him in and have enough faith to move to action? Those of you who know he's been asking you to do something like that, now's the time to say, okay, I will step out right away. No more waiting. I'll obey.
Thank you, Mark. That was a very encouraging and challenging message, and that's usually what I experience when I hang out with you. So thanks for bringing it to everybody this morning. We just have a few announcements, if you want to throw up the announcement slide. Connection cards are on your seats there. We'd love to have you fill those out. Drop them in the basket in the back. If you're visiting this morning, thank you for coming. And I'd love to just be able to say hi to you. So if you can put a phone number or email on there, that I'd appreciate that. If you need to prepare your offering, I'll give you a second to do that while I talk about cash for camps. Coming up in July, each Sunday of July, a few of the restaurants in town here want to step in and help support our youth going to summer camps this summer. So the way that works is you go out to lunch anyways after church, grab some of your friends. The three restaurants right now that are participating in this are Twin Dragon, Duval Grill, which is right down the street here, and Red Pepper. So if you go into any of those locations on Sunday mornings in July and just say you're from Adventure Church, they'll actually give some of those proceeds back into the youth program to help with summer camps. So that's kind of a cool program you can get involved in. Ushers, if you want to come forward, I'll pray over the offering. So thank you, Lord, for just how much we really can relax into your plan for our lives. And just thank you for the insight this morning that when we do that, when we walk, when we live in that posture, we start to see what you are doing in our lives, in the difficult situations in our lives. We start to see how good you are and what you are doing instead of counting our losses and complaining about things not going the way we wanted them to. So thank you for that, just that wisdom that you've opened up to us this morning. Lord, we come to you with our offerings this morning as a sign of what you are doing. You're blessing us. And so we bring our resources back to you, ask that you would continue to build your kingdom with them, Lord. And we just commit them to you with worshipful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can just pass those baskets through your section. They'll get them in the back. A few more announcements. One is the Red Carpet Ministry is sampling some new coffees, and so they would love to get your input on the coffee this morning from the pots back here. If you can just put on your connection card, maybe, you know, 1 to 10 rating, 10 being this is the best coffee I've ever had, 1 being, oh, that was coffee that was in the pot, or... Just, they'd love to, over the next few weeks, we'll be doing that and just getting your input, so they'd appreciate that. Upcoming event, so our next park event that we have coming up is July 13th, and that's going to be service. We'll be here, normal, and then after the services, again, bring, like with Sandlot, bring a picnic lunch that you're ready to jump down. We may even possibly have a baptism going that Sunday as well as we do this Sunday. But, you know, last night, community-wise, was laser tag, dads and kids. Over 50 people showed up for that. Yeah, it was awesome. A lot of, over 60-something hot dogs and hamburgers we went through. And, yeah, I could feel that hamburger as I was running around the park. I kept tasting. No, never mind. So, anyways, speaking of baptisms, yes, there is a baptism happening after the second service today. So you first service people would love to have you show up at 1 o'clock down at McCormick Park, down on the sand there to support them. Mark's son is one of the ones being baptized, Gideon. So that'll be exciting. I think that's it. What did I forget? I don't know. Nobody's yelling at me. So you guys have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.